My new book, Facts That Aren't True, is out now. Don't forget about my other book, Rational Answers to Stupid Questions. Click the link in the description now. Why do you think the Earth is flat?
So you'd have to use the holographic principle. You'd have to use the idea that the information we receive is translated from 2D to 3D. You'd have to use the argument about how we use the process of forming shapes.
Can you figures. Do any of those things or not?
Yeah, because it's all in your head. I mean, this is from the basis from how we can see things, how we process information, the kind of mechanisms that we use within our conscious processing. And if you just change one thing or one or two things, then yes, you could absolutely consider the Earth to be flat. Now, you could argue then that what about all the tools and measurements?
Holographic principle would say that the universe fundamentally is flat. It's not just the Earth that's flat. So are you.
Yeah, exactly. So that would be the basis of it.
Okay, well, then that's
and
just...
And then you'd have to...
If that's the case, if everything's flat, then nothing is flat. Because that's not what we mean. That's not what flat earthers mean. What they mean is we do exist in a three-dimensional reality, but Earth is just simply flat across its surface, like macro on the macro scale. It's flat. So I am not a physicist.
Yes,
I don't care about this holographic thing. Is just not going to be. This is not a conversation to have. I'm not the right person for it. So, sorry to disappoint,
That's fine. You can pick another one if you want. But there is an argument for that, based on how we kind of process information and how we turn it into the reality that we kind of see, and it's down to the way we process light waves and photons, etc., and then construct shapes and construct. For example, you know, when they teach you how to draw, okay, they break down a human into a cylindrical shape for the body, and then for the arms, and then a round shape for the head, and then we kind of see the figure and the flow. But the reason they do it that way is that's kind of how our brain constructs the image before it adds on details depth perception, and it adds on details like color, and it adds on details like shading, etc., etc. But at the very core level of how we input information, we construct these kind of objects, and all you had to do was change the way we construct those objects, and then bingo, you have a completely different reality. But like I said, it's a hard one. So any of the other ones, you want to go for any of the other ones?
Yeah, I guess evolution. So you don't think evolution is true?
I think the weight of evidence is against the idea of chance mutation.
Transmutation?
We have the copying errors of the DNA code. And then from the copying errors of the DNA code, it introduces information. But we've got so many problems. It's just... top-down levels of problems. You've got origins of life, such as the origins of life issue.
Well, that's not evolution. That doesn't have any bearing on whether or not evolution is true.
Well, it kind of does, because you've got to kind of account for that as well, which wouldn't be a random process.
No, it wouldn't be a random process. There would actually be, because chemistry is not random, and there would actually even be natural selection almost certainly in the process, because a better autocatalytic better is kind of a weird way of putting it, but a more successful autocatalytic process would be have an advantage over others and could outcompete them. But God created the first microbe on the planet, and so it really was magic. That would in no way prove or disprove. Well, it wouldn't disprove anything we know about evolution. So I just want to talk about evolution. So you started off
So
with
when it
saying,
comes to evolution,
yeah, go
then
ahead.
we've got the information theory issue.
Which
This
is.
idea about how, which is that information in the Shannon view is just garbled like A, B, C, D, whatever, but doesn't carry any information about how to enact things or change things. It's like the difference between a monkey typing 100 words and a poem. Yeah, one has information embedded in it and the other one doesn't. And so when we're looking at these DNA strands, they all have functional processes. So the sequence and the way they're written is what's important. And then when they look at the calculations behind how that could conceivably be come about through chance mutation, at the
It's
very
not
beginning,
by chance.
at
And
the
again,
very
you're talking
beginning.
about abiogenesis again. So let's talk about evolution. What
But
problems?
we are talking about.
No, abiogenesis is not evolution. It's a different process. So
Okay.
what do you want to talk
Yeah, but
about with
we.
regard to what overwhelming evidence that life doesn't evolve do you see?
Well, okay, so we. So I think it's important. I think that's important because, okay, if you're going to say that a cell was created, and from that process, then we get evolution. But as for cell to be created, I don't think the evolution is. They kind of say that that's chance mutation that created the cell and its origins. I don't know. Okay, and then if we're going to say then a cell duplicated itself and replicated itself and then through mutations of the DNA replication, then we get these different organisms and then they evolve into different things. You've still got this copying issue. We have, like, in the DNA copying process, you have error checking facts. It's like a CD disk, right? It goes there and it checks everything, and if it finds an error, it goes back and puts what should be there in place. And then
But
even after it's been.
other times it does not. And as a, this is just so incredibly does not work for your worldview, even. Do you think that the Noah's flood happened?
Well, again, this is
Answer the
you've got,
question.
well, not in a literal sense,
Do you
but
think that
you've
when
got the.
God created life on this planet, he created every single species that exists today?
It was designed. How it was designed, I don't know. But what I would say is
So you don't
that
know.
the
Okay.
information we get from God, or the revelations we get from, whether it be the Buddhist sitting underneath a tree, or Moses up there with his 10 tablets, or Muhammad in his cave, this process of transferring information from a different dimension or different space, whatever, it has to go through the filter of how we structure things. So we structure things in terms of time and space in the way our brain processes it. But that kind of transfer of information has to come through symbols. So it's symbolic. It's the way we have dreams. When we have dreams, they're all over the place. So
Buddy, you're
it's
not
more
talking
complicated.
about anything at all. You're just saying words. So
It's all over the place, I know. I know. It's very difficult.
let's address this
What?
idea that the if the what the fuck were you even saying? The idea that if the information changes, like the DNA information changes, and there's a process that selects for errors. It doesn't get every single error, and the errors are a necessary component of life. Because if life does not change in subtle ways, like everybody that denies evolution actually believes in evolution to a certain extent. If life doesn't, it isn't slightly different every generation, then life is far more likely to go extinct because environments change. So, for example, bacteria. You agree that there are antibiotic-resistant bacteria alive today?
Yes.
Okay, they evolved, and the only way for that to be possible was because every single bacteria is slightly different, and the ones that have unpredictable random differences in their genome that ended up being better able to survive the antibacterial drugs or whatever environment are the ones more likely to reproduce and survive. Classic natural selection. So this error thing is literally not a problem, and it's actually a necessary component that makes life able to thrive.
Okay, but there's a different theory that explains that. So like the Lamarckian theory, where these differences occur because of
Lamarckism
of environmental factors, and we know now that environmental factors can change the RNA, which it changes the DNA expression, and so they cross generation, they go into the germline. So before we had this idea that you only had changes through DNA changes, but now we know for certainty with epigenetics.
Epigenetics does change the genetics.
It changes
the DNA molecule. Because it either methylates or I always forget what the other word is, and people tell me it, and I still always forget. It changes the way in which the DNA is expressed. Yeah. What Lamarck thought was that the environment imprints on the individual, and that characteristics that an individual acquired during its lifetime can be passed down. Lamarck in no way whatsoever predicted that a hereditary molecule like the giraffe's long neck, he didn't predict that the giraffe's long neck would ooze its essence into the balls of the giraffe or anything like that. So the theory actually doesn't account for this in any way. But Lamarckism has been demonstrated to be false. I can't remember who it was. It was a German. It wasn't von Baer. I don't think so anyways, but this is a German scientist, and he took mice and he chopped off their tails in every single generation, and then he would breed the tailless mice together, and whenever they would have babies, he'd chop off their tails, and then he would breed them together, and after multiple generations, there was absolutely no difference in the tails. The genes have the instructions within them for guiding the development of the organism, and lopping off a part of its body doesn't do anything with respect to affecting the gene line. Now, it is true that the environment can methylate the DNA and change the way it's expressed later in life, but that's not...
But that accounts for things like... For example, if you take a horse and you take it out of the soft pasture and you take it into hard pasture, so that it undergoes a form of stress in its bone density, then that's passed down. So this is when you get this difference in bone density of different horses, or in the expression of the beaks. So like if they change their diet and they eat different things, they're beak structure would change, and this points to
the only way their beak structure is going to change is if there are changes in genes or gene expression
from environmental factors, which is like they've eaten different things, so
sure, but we also know that changes in genes lead to morphological changes in organisms. That's been seen many times.
Yeah, there is a small amount, but it doesn't account for... I think the evidence that it accounts for the diversity we have is kind of far-fetched, and the maths just doesn't play out.
What if... Okay, let's say 500 million years from today, do you think that there will be no new organisms on the planet?
No, I don't. I don't think there will be more different organisms. I think there will be... They will be changed and adapted, but I don't think the extent, because in this Lamarckian or the neo-Lamarckian worldview, these changes can only occur if the RNA has the capacity or is an inbuilt design to adapt to different situations. So it's still limited. So you
To
can,
what?
so if you have a bird, it can still only ever be a bird, but with slight variations.
But there's no limit to those slight. When an organism, let's say we look at 1,000 years worth of slight variations. In the next 1,000 years, different variations are going to accumulate, right?
Yeah.
And then in the next thousand
They
years,
will.
even more different variations are going to accumulate. And that process is able to make species turn into completely different forms, like how theropod dinosaurs evolved into today's modern birds. They're still technically dinosaurs, cladistically, but they're not theropod dinosaurs really anymore.
I hear you. I hear you.
Langu
But I
language does
think.
this kind of thing. 5,000 years ago, nobody spoke English. And if you want to say,
But it's
look,
all.
the odds of somebody who doesn't speak English, or the odds of even a bunch of people who don't speak English just one day, randomly, for no reason, spontaneously developing 400,000 new words that are of a new language is impossible. You're right, it is impossible. But what if every single generation, a microscopic amount of new accumulated differences in the language are there, and some artifacts of the language disappear? There are plenty of things we don't say anymore, in addition to the accumulated things. That process
Yeah.
leads to non-English speakers eventually giving rise to people that speak English, right? And with the small genetic changes, there's nothing to say that it can't produce organisms that are radically different, especially when all of the differences that they have continue accumulating.
So here's an interesting thought for you. So we have this diversity of languages, yeah. So we have Chinese and we have like tribal languages in whatever region. We have English and we have Spanish and etc. But the common thing about all these languages is that we can translate between them, because underlying this language is a design. It's a process of how we conceptualize things, whether the way we see time as a linear process, how we categorize things, etc. And this is why we're able to translate Chinese into English and German into French, because it's within those design bounds. If you was to
You know,
randomly or evolve the language so that it didn't abide by those laws or within those confines, it would disappear because it wouldn't have any meaning.
yes, so l evolution is
So
not a
this. So th
random process, and natural selection guarantees that only beneficial mutations are ones that accumulate. So this isn't like th this isn't a gotcha. Really, in any way. You know that like there are genes in one group of organisms that you can literally transplant into other organisms and they still maintain a function, right? Okay.
I mean, because if you think about the fact that we share 95% of our genomes with mushrooms, right?
We
This is
don't.
like an,
We don't
it's
share
about, I
even
think it's
1%.
we do. Mushrooms is
No.
one of our closest apart
It's
from primates, it's
absolutely.
more closer than plants.
Yeah, I know
Fun
that,
fact.
but it's still not very close at all.
I think it's quite high, actually.
It's
Maybe we should check.
not.
What is it? Can you check? Because I only have my mobile there. What is the
Okay. It's not going to be
what
more
is
than
the
5%.
Oh, it's huge. Honestly, it's really big. It's up there in the 90s, or maybe
No,
70s,
it's
80s.
not. Literally,
What does it say?
foxes and wolves are only 75% genetically identical.
What does it say about mushrooms?
I'm not finding anything. How many genes do we share with
Fungi.
mushrooms?
Fungi.
There are a lot of problems with the way this data is given too, because you'll hear we're 40% genetically identical to bananas and we're not. I know the study where that misunderstanding came from. Google AI is saying 30 to 50% of we share 30 to 50% of our DNA with mushrooms. I absolutely do not think that that is correct. Because like I said, a wolf and a fox are only 75%. So
But this kind of, I mean, if you look at it from a programming or an engineering perspective, the fact that we share so much of our DNA and our genome would be how you would program a differences in different aspects. You'd have a core DNA and it would have subsets that break off from the core DNA to create different algorithms. This is a designed thing. It's not necessarily an argument that we inherited through genetic mutations. It's an argument that there's a design element to it. If you're gonna make two different species, then why not share most of the things that matter, like how you see or how you move or how your heart works and stuff like this.
That's a cute post hoc, yeah. But the evolution said that this would happen, and then we found the evidence for it. So we have supporting evidence of evolution. Evolution could have been essentially disproven if the genetics revealed that there's absolutely nothing that any form of life has in common.
Yeah, but it wouldn't be that in this one. I think the only way you can really disprove evolution, the only way you can falsify evolution, is through mathematics. It's whether these things could have occurred within the time frame that's given. And there's been quite a lot of progress in this, and it's only going to get the timelines are only going to go further up because of the more we know and understand the complexity of the systems that we're made of.
That's just going to be an argument from ignorance. It's actually not, because exactly what you're talking about has been done in other fields and then proven to be completely false. In the early 20th century, lots of extremely intelligent scientists like Robert Oppenheimer and many more did all of the math behind everything we knew about atoms and nuclear chain reactions or whatever, and they all concluded it is literally impossible to split the atom and get a chain reaction. They proved it countless times with mathematics that you cannot achieve a critical mass or a sustained reaction or whatever. And then some guy named something in Russia did it, proved that the mathematical argument the math agreed with itself, but that says nothing about what additional information we may later learn. So these mathematical things, these are just sophisticated arguments from ignorance or incredulity.
I think you're comparing apples and pears. And I'll tell you what, I think you're comparing apples and pears. Because when it comes to evolution, the driving force behind evolution is this idea of mutations and then adaption to the environment, or beneficial adaption.
And yeah, which has been experimentally proven to occur.
On a micro level, you can get some things.
Yeah.
But on a macro level, then you're going to fall into these constraint issues where you've got informational theory and you're just, it's like adding, changing two digits on a two-page line of code. It's just going to fall apart.
Why would it fall apart specifically?
Because if it's everything has its place. It's informational. It's not just a set of random figures and numbers.
Agreed. Natural selection isn't random.
Yeah. It's true. Natural selection isn't random because they have to survive through the various intergenerational things, and then the strongest one kind of comes out, and that gene stays with them. But you've got things like the irreducible issue, where how do you create a how do you create a pumping station or a drill network, whichever whatever it is, in the hydrophobic pump, one of these things that exist in the cell. When you need all of the parts together, it doesn't add up. I mean, at
That
the end of the
is
day, the more
one,
complex it
another
gets, the
argument
more
from
points.
incredulity, and two, I don't know about the pump you're talking about, but like the flagella, that has been experimentally proven to be false. Scientists have systematically removed component after component from the flagella and showed that it does maintain functionality. Not the same functionality, but that doesn't actually really matter.
I'll have a look at that, because obviously that's one of the
By
main
my book. I
arguments.
talk about it in the
But
book.
if you're looking at this saying the argument, this is incredulity. The reason it's so sophisticated, it's so complex and everything, and so you're only arguing because it's so sophisticated and you couldn't conceive of it being that way. But doesn't that then kind of point to design being the natural option or the most plausible option? Why is that not
What?
an option?
I didn't say it's not
Why
an
is
option.
design not an option?
I didn't say it's not an
But
option. I'm telling you that what you're trying to do is you're not giving me reasons why design is likely to be true. You're saying this other idea that isn't design, I'm telling you why I think that's false. That doesn't equate to points for the opposite for the opposite
Design. Well, the argument for design is we kind of look at everything we know in how things are built up and have specific functionality, and everything we know is that behind it is design. And so it would be completely normal and natural to say, if we look at processes that happen within the cellular biology, etc., etc., and they all point to this complicated system, and almost as if they're designed, you would have to conclude that the most obvious answer is that they're designed. But we get this process where it's like, no. If you talk about design, then you're introducing this aspect of a creator or a designer. And no, we can't go there.